I saw that, you know, YouTubers are doing all the reviews on the car. And
well, media cars always get out early, right?
Yeah. But so, do people own this thing?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I heard people say that they had already started some of the delivery. I would imagine that just for the sake of being able to say that they're delivering, right? But I don't really know. I mean, I struggle with this thing. I do think he's going to sell some. The shape of it's growing on me a little bit more than maybe.
Is it?
Yeah, maybe a little bit more than when. I don't like the wheel.
Wait, the shape or the like overall looks?
Like it's cyberistic future truck thing. Like I'm it's that part's growing on me, I guess. But wow. You know, it still looks like, you know, somebody just only had a ruler to be able to draw something.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't, well, you know, I guess on, you know, other cars or whatever, when you put a lot of detail into the body lines of a car or whatever, it really gives it that.
Is that what happened here, though?
Beauty and uniqueness. And now this is a completely flat vehicle.
It's got so many issues that I don't even know what to do with. I don't like the wheel arches.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, but unfortunately it matches the rest of the truck, which is like square.
Sharp
like
angles.
I'm really good at drawing stick figures, and I feel like if I was going to draw a car, it probably would accidentally look like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's really pretty ugly, I think.
Yeah, but like, is it ugly in a way that like, it's almost like, all right, it's ugly, but so much that it almost becomes cool?
I guess this is what they're going for. I read a thing where I guess Elon Musk was saying that, you know, the whole point of this is to be a statement on that future car that we never got. And I guess, you know, when people...
I guess he wins.
I guess so. In that sense, it looks like it's definitely odd and futuristic. But, I mean, the way I look at it is that if I'm looking at an electric car or something like that, you can make an electric car that doesn't look so ridiculous. That's the same functionality as a truck.
What I can't figure out is who's going to buy this thing. And when I say that, I don't mean like, do I think people are going to buy it or not? I know people are going to buy it.
For what reason? Yeah, just because they want to be like, they want to say they have it.
It's not a truck guy. Like, no. I don't think I'm ever going to be. I don't believe that I'm in the near future, even if this thing actually does make it out by 2025.
Yeah.
I don't feel that I'm going to be reading, I won't be reading anything, but like, I guess reading an article that was written by like a four wheeler or any one of these, you know, kind of enthusiast publications or enthusiast, you know, websites or whatever, where this thing's going to be like on the trail and they're like, yeah, this is great. I think the more realistic delivery of that type of enthusiast potentially goes to a Rivian,
yeah. Right?
Where it looks like a truck. That's modernized, mm-hmm. That has a lot of cool features.
Yep.
Arguably, there's some ironing out that needs to happen on the Rivian side because they just seem to not have everything working on all cylinders there.
Right. But the Rivian truck is pretty comparable in terms of specs. And frankly, I think it's actually a good-looking truck.
Well, because it looks like a truck.
I mean, but even, like, if you compare it to other trucks as well, I think that this is actually just straight-up a good-looking truck.
You ever use a tape measure?
Yes.
When you use a tape measure, do you have that chronic fear that I have where I'm going to release the latch when it's all the way a thing and it's going to come back and just like slice me?
Yeah.
Okay. That's how I think I would feel if I owned the Cybertruck. Like I would accidentally lean on it the wrong way too quickly and just cut myself.
Okay, right. Well, I'd be scared that, you know, you have stainless steel appliances in your house.
With the fingerprints?
Not even that, but I mean also, you know when you have stainless steel like a refrigerator or something or dishwasher or whatever. Sometimes dishwasher is probably a better example because normally you start seeing those like little dents.
Oh yeah. Sure.
Yeah, you know, like
I feel like I watched the promo videos of the Cybertruck moving around and I felt like I saw them inherently in the panels already.
Oh my god! I mean, then all of a sudden you have a completely warped panels that are stainless steel and I don't know. I mean,
you know, that's one of the things that I think I'm the most baffled by. Right. Mm-hmm. First off, they're not the first ones to utilize stainless steel.
No.
I mean, if you remember the DeLorean, I mean, that was stainless steel.
And look how good that did.
Right. And so I think that the part... All right. So you know I like to weld and fabricate.
You see the smudges on that?
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. That looks great.
There's no door handle?
I mean, God forbid you go to KFC with your family and then everybody comes outside and tries to get into the truck, there's going to be nothing but finger licking good prints all over this thing. Right? I don't, you know, the part that I think I struggle with the most is that, look at that. Like, I mean, look, here's the thing. All right, let's talk about stainless steel for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I am a, person that likes to fabricate, mm-hmm. and I do have some experience with multiple different types of metals.
Okay, so I guess the pro of the stainless steel is what? That it's
strong.
It's strong.
Doesn't rust.
Resistant to corrosion. Resistant to corrosion,
yeah,
I guess.
Or for the most part.
For the most part, I guess.
Yes.
And then list of cons?
I mean, look, I don't know if I could tell you a ton of cons in the sense of stainless steel at stainless steel use. But I can say that from a cyber truck or from an automotive piece, when I think about a stainless steel vehicle, I start to think about things like, well, all right, it's strong, but it's not undentable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if undentable is a word, but it's not undentable. And because of that,
not fully protected.
How do you get those things removed? You're going to have what, a metal worker or a body shop? I mean, PDR guys, I don't know if stainless steel would, as thick as it is, to be able to have bullets stop, because they promise bulletproofness.
Yeah.
Or I don't promise, maybe not the right word, but what I'm saying is, like, is it one of those things that they're going to be able to take out? I mean, they show that dead blow hammer just not even touching the panel. Now, I will say that that dead blow hammer was one of those plastic Harbor Freight ones. Oh, they're getting it on it with another hammer. I mean, I don't know. I find stainless steel to be strong, but I don't know if I find it to be.
I mean, where do you go if you get into an accident? You do sustain some damage. You bring it to a standard body shop? No.
Well, I mean, the answer to that is going to be the same way as when you know, a lot of these cars started going aluminum, right?
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of the cars started going aluminum, a lot of body shops had to get aluminum certified. You can't. Aluminum repairs are not the same as, you know, your traditional steel repairs or whatever it may be. As plastics and composites became more, utilized within automotive production, I think you had a lot of shops that had to go get, you know, plastic and composite certified. So I think that part will normalize. You're going to have, obviously, shops that are going to be the quote-unquote Tesla authorized repair shops. That's going to happen. You know, Cybertruck repair shops.
I mean, you know, imagine if you had to replace a panel on that car. Imagine how much that would cost.
Well, I think I'm less worried about the cost of the panel, and I'm more worried about the fact that can you get the panel? I don't know that they're going to have, you know, I mean, I think it's going to be, look, the one thing we've heard from.
Or glass repair?
Well, again, I think those are manufacturable pieces to an extent. I think the problem that I have is more to do with the replacement panels, because you heard Elon talk on the Joe Rogan podcast thing, and he said that, you know, every single aspect of this truck has a unique proprietary process for them to, you know, do everything. Lining up panels, getting the panels produced, like all these different things. They've had to figure out these ways. And I think the problem with that is that makes it extremely difficult for the aftermarket essentially to replicate, right? So, you know, there may be that thing where you can only get it from Tesla, but then Tesla doesn't have them or whatever it is. So now, like, how long? And we've seen this before with even some of the newer cars when the Rivians and stuff started to come out. There was an accident. They couldn't source panels. Cars would sit for months,
mm-hmm.
just months. And, you know, you couldn't get them repaired. So, so I think that there's obviously a level there. But, I mean, man, stainless steel. It, you know, I can just think about the reflection that this thing must throw off when it's steaming down a sunny California highway, just absolutely blazing. I actually like the Cybertruck more without the body panels.
Exoskeleton, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just think it's one of those things where, you know, are people going to come up with, like, tint kits for the outside of their car? Like, you know, wraps?
Can you finish over stainless steel? It could. Wait, will this be offered in any other colors? No.
I don't think so. I don't think that would be a fair. I don't think that would be a good idea.
Why can't they make it black?
I mean, they can, but I think with stainless steel, it's not that you can't paint stainless steel. It's just that I think for a durability standpoint, you'd probably have to, I don't want to say powder coat it, but you'd probably have to, you know, come up with a almost like more of a, what do they call that? Like anodizing process, I guess, mm-hmm. maybe something to that effect. I'm not really sure. That's an interesting point. I think that
if it wasn't a shiny refrigerator going down the road, maybe it would look better.
Maybe.
You know,
I could see some complications there. I also think that when you come down to these, you know, stainless steel is not a forgiving, easy to work with piece, mm-hmm. right? They're strong. They take whatever. You have to really know how to work stainless steel. You have to have the tools. You have to have the muscle to be able to pull it together. So my concern is that, like, one of the things that they've said is that they're having a tremendous amount of difficulty getting these panels to line up because the tolerance that they need to be within when they're producing a stainless steel panel is so much smaller and tighter than producing a regular car panel. So you're seeing cars or they're experiencing problems where they come in and the gaps are not right and the panels don't line up. And, you know, I don't know how much better that will get.
That's just the nature of working with that material, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think it helps that you have a tremendous amount of, what do you call those? Straight edges?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, yeah, because then you need like high precision, essentially, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot easier to tell a gap when you have a panel that runs square. I mean, you know, and I also think that, you know, what about temperature differences? Right? Now, here's the thing. I want to go back to this. It's not like this is the only vehicle that's ever been used of stainless steel, and it's not like other metals don't have an expansion and contraction rate.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that when things are on the edge as they are, you throw any little bit of variation, cold, heat. I mean, this thing, it's great in this, it's summer, but it's not in the winter. I mean, think about your floors. You ever have hardwood floors? They expand and contract.
Like, yes, they do.
You get summer, you get a little bit, like, I don't know. Like, what if this panel is sitting out in the sun absorbing its magnifying glass properties?
In Arizona where the heat was melting mailboxes, you saw that?
Yeah, so like, what if they do that on these panels and then you hit it with a bunch of cold water?
Oh my goodness, I don't know. Everything shatters?
I don't know if it shatters, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Those are the things I'm not sure about. I also didn't have too much DeLorean experience to be able to tell you whether were an issue there.
Either. Sure. Well, I can tell you this, though.
Okay.
They didn't keep making it. So,
right, but there were some other forces there that were pushing that out. It wasn't just because of stainless steel.
Well, everyone thought it was, well, not everyone thought it was cool, but it was, you know, people think it's cool now, but they didn't continue to do that. So I'm telling you, there has to just be reasons why. Like,
yeah, I mean, but there's a whole story about, you know, John DeLorean and DeLorean Motor Company. I'm just saying there was some other
forces. I'm saying outside of
there.
DeLorean, I'm saying the reason why no one ever adapted a steel body like that.
Yeah, because it's heavy as anything, dude.
Yeah, so.
Think about how much, like here's the thing.
So now that we have the powerful electric motors, it makes it okay? Is that the solution?
Here's my fear.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I think, unfortunately, you're correct. But mm-hmm. here's my thing. Clearly, they've figured out some other ways to make this so that it's just the exterior panels that have the stainless steel on it. Like when we saw that picture where it didn't have any body panels mm-hmm. on it. I'm going to say that with the batteries is obviously exceptionally optimized, right? Because they probably took all the weight that they could out of there knowing that they're going to be heavy, heavy batteries or whatever it's going to be. And the stainless steel isn't the end of the world. But like when you really think about it, the only reason you need stainless steel, you know, aside from the smoke and mirrors of strength and you could bang a shopping cart and hammer into it is maybe that thing of being able to hold the claim that it's bulletproof. But like if you had made this thing, you know, with some sort of composite, could you potentially have had an easier time getting things to fit? And maybe not with the square panels.
I can't believe that bulletproof is a selling point for this car. I can't believe it.
Well, so then going back to that question.
Not a good look for America, let me just say.
Well, but it might be necessary if we keep going the way we're going.
I know, but other countries already think it's like that. Now we're coming up with bulletproof cars. All the other countries are probably like, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you know, something thinks, you know, part of me is thinking that I need to invest in a heavy arsenal. I just don't know where things are going.
Well,
lately.
Then you might as well pick up a Cybertruck. Then you're basically a one-man army.
Well, I mean, I think the cool thing about it is that, like, if you're, it, you know, I would love to
see
somebody
shooting that with a musket. What is that? A shotgun shell?
That was buckshot, right?
Buckshot, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that when it comes down to this truck, it's cool. I don't know if the gimmicky part will
sell it.
Well, I was going to say wear off and then, because I think for any vehicle to really take off and become mainstream or sell a lot of vehicles, I think at some point the novelty features have to wear off and you have to be able to reach people that aren't buying because of novelty points. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if the best thing about it is the novelty points, you're gonna find the outliers basically, you know, go ahead and be able to buy this because of those things. But for you to sell a truck, you got to have everybody involved, even when they don't care about whether they're going to have a drive-by with this thing.
Yeah. You know what I think about this, though, is like, there's only a handful or less of electric trucks in production right now, right?
Right now.
Like, if you think about, like, the Rivian, right?
Yep.
The Rivian is an electric truck, and it was originally marketed as, like, a nice, like, outdoorsy vehicle, like, that kind of, like, Subaru Wilderness type of vibe, you know? And you can have a camping set pulled out of your car.
Yeah, with the little kitchen.
Yeah, little kitchen and stuff, right? So then you got people who love the nature, and then you have a little bit of mixture of green in there, so electric makes sense. Like, I can figure out who would buy that, right?
Right.
Like, it kind of makes sense to me in my own head that I could figure out who would buy that car, truck, based on the way it's marketed. And then you have the Ford Lightning.
Right. It's Ford's attempt and I think it will get better. I don't think it's there yet, but...
But you can still, again, figure out kind of who's going to get
it. It's a Ford.
That. Yeah. Right. But I just don't know who's going to buy this thing.
Well, I mean, look, let's think about traditional places you may see pickup trucks, right? Site?
Everywhere in America?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, over-stereotypically, right?
Yeah, a job site, sure. Yep.
Like, do I think I'm going to see a bunch of Tesla Cybertrucks? Maybe some. Maybe some. I could see, like, you know...
In Silicon Valley while they're doing some new construction on a software building?
No, but, like, what I'm saying is, I guess I can see it. I mean, the one thing that they did do is they did... The truck itself does have some... type, like, the bed apparently is a very capable. It can do a 4x8 sheet. It has traditional size bed. In fact, it's even got a 6-foot enclosed covered bed, which I think is pretty cool. And the Rivian bed had the nature of going in the right direction, but apparently their Tonto, full-time Tonto cover is a piece of junk. So I think that's cool. I mean, this lockable bed space, I think, is really interesting. So I think that's cool.
That's like taken straight off of the Hyundai truck. Their truck has, like, the same thing over the bed. It, like, works the same way.
No, but that thing, like, the bed cover on the Cybertruck has been advertised that you can, like, stand and jump on the damn thing.
I think you could do that for the other one too. I can't remember the name for the Hyundai.
Oh, I don't
pickup
know. I'm
truck.
A big boy. I don't know that I'd want to take that chance.
Yeah, not me neither, honestly. But
it would look like a scene out of one of those things where they go right through the building awning.
And your feet come through the ceiling.
Yeah. So,
well, me too, trust me, I'd break right through that thing.
People talk about busting the glass ceiling. I have a feeling that I would.
I didn't know that the ceiling of this thing was glass.
Well, I don't think it is. I think just the, you know, yeah, I mean, so I don't think it is, but it does have like that extra long.
Well, I think it
roof,
is. I think it's a clear glass roof or something like that. Obviously,
I don't know. I mean, I would, that would make sense to me.
There was a thing saying that this truck won't be able to flip, I guess, based on its low center of gravity.
Is that a challenge?
I don't know. People
sounds
might,
like a challenge.
I know, people might be like, flipped it.
Hashtag flipped
you,
it.
You get what's his face? The Oh, Max, what's the name of the guy who does the crazy stuff on YouTube with the Tesla on the old
Rich Rebuilds?
No, it's oh my goodness, he's huge, Max. He does like the upside down Tesla video.
I don't know.
Oh my goodness,
we're getting lost here. But
like that guy's gonna be standing on a YouTube video with a flipped over Cybertruck and be like, "Did it?"
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know that we even know what the specs of this thing really are. Every time I feel like
this guy.
Oh, okay.
This guy.
Every time I feel like I hear a spec, I feel like it's immediately given the counter of this, and then there's another spec.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, well, they said that the base model for the Cybertruck's not going to come out until 2025.
I think that makes sense, though, don't you?
No, I don't.
All right, so here's what I think. My opinion. I don't know, Elon.
I feel like that should come out first.
I don't. Well, of course you think it should because that makes sense. But yeah. What I'm saying is, look at it from a production standpoint.
You see this guy?
Yeah, this is pretty wild. So here's the thing. From a production standpoint, you have this issue of you promised a truck that was supposed to be $40,000.
Yep.
It's not going to be $40,000.
No way.
So now they're saying that the base one is going to be, what, $66,000?
$60,000,
right? Yeah. $60,900, something like that. So, you know, clearly this thing is not cheap.
Nope.
Right? We know that when you add in the motor, right, you go to all-wheel drive, the thing jumps up to like $80,000, and then what is it? Like it's 90 and change, 90.
It's $100,000 for the top one.
Right. Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
And so the top one is a tri-motor. Although I will say, for something that arguably Tesla states will weigh about 6,600 pounds or 6,800 pounds, I think, with the tri-motor, I will say 2.60 time on the tri-motor. That's lightning.
Yep.
So there is that. But what I will say is when it comes down to, you know, kind of these specs, I think it has to be, listen, even with Rivian, they're losing money on every truck they sell. So what happens is it's a scope game. The more trucks they put out, the more cost savings that they'll receive because mm-hmm. of the efficiency of running at scale.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, they're able to drive the price down. So that's what Rivian's hoping for, that at some point they'll sell and they'll deliver so many vehicles that they'll drive their costs down to the point where they're making money on these cars. But it takes time. So I think Elon's hedging his bet, knowing that you get the expensive ones out first, deal with the production issues before you open it up to the mainstream, where you're going to have the most amount of people potentially purchasing that entry-level package.
Before you have an entire sea of people. Issues.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, not even just the issues, also the fact that you'll put it out by then, and hopefully you'll put out enough trucks that you'll start to really work the cost in, and you'll start to get to that point where when you sell the mass production truck, you're starting to make a little bit of profit on the trucks.
You know what I wonder too? I wonder if since they're going to have the platform for this and whatever it may be, like, you know, when they first came out with the but, you know, I'm not great at Tesla stuff, but, you know, the Model Y or the bigger one. I think that was the first one.
And no, the first one was a 3.
Of the SUVs.
Well, I don't think you can call it SUV, but I know what you mean. It's a Y. You're talking about the X with the doors? Or are you talking about the Y that's just the bigger 3?
I meant the bigger one.
You're going to have to be slightly. The biggest
SUV. The one with the doors.
Yeah. That's the Model X.
X. And then did the Y follow?
So the Y followed.
Right. So that was the Y smaller, yeah?
The Y is smaller. It's like a Model 3 but with a high roof and a little bit more capacity.
So I wonder if they're going to take something like the Cybertruck, now they have the platform and some things ironed out with this or whatever, and make a...
What, Brabus?
No.
6x6?
No. I was going to say if they're going to make maybe like a more simplified version of the truck and call it something else. The Cybertruck Mini, I don't know, something like that. Who knows? Not that it'll be smaller, but...
So what's interesting is, you know, I don't know. Did you ever think why they're... Well, this is Elon's take on it, but I heard it in an interview with Jay Leno. Do you ever hear the reasoning that he thinks that they, you know, all right, you got a Model 3, Model X, Model Y, and the Model S.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think why those letters? Like, what's the...
3, S, X, Y.
according to Elon, he's like, well, because it spells sexy.
Right. I was thinking that. I swear.
I know. That's why when you said it like that, I was like, oh, he's got it.
Yeah. I didn't want to sound ridiculous because if that's where my head went.
He laughed. I don't know if that was 100% the reason, but it's funny because it worked out.
S3XY,
just,
yeah, S3XY, right.
Yeah. So where does a Cybertruck fit in there?
Nowhere. I don't know. How?
I don't know, like cyber sexing?
Oh, I thought there was a punchline.
No, I really don't know. I have no idea. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, he has a whole bunch of different things. I mean, the guy is an interesting dude. What you can say what you want about him, whether you like him or you don't like him or whatever it is.
Well, he's interesting.
He's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I struggle just to know where this thing fits. Built-in hospital-grade
filters. Oh, yeah. So I read this thing. It said that you can turn on some safety mode where you're prevented from contaminated air particles.
So if there's a volcano.
Yeah. I mean, really. I mean, I guess you got to send these all to Hawaii or something. I have no idea.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, he's got a lot of features. I mean, when you think about even the bed. You could probably survive
natural disasters in this car. Instead of going in the basement in the shelter or whatever, you just hop in your Cybertruck.
I mean, I don't know about
you
that.
You sit there and watch some Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know if I would Netflix and chill in the Cybertruck while there's a tornado coming. Yeah.
Hey, I mean...
So here's my thing. My thing is that it's got a lot of cool features. There's no doubt about mm-hmm. it. I mean, you expect anything less from Elon Musk? No. Right? No. Like, the fact that it has a 120 and a 220 charging built in to the truck that you could use to charge other things is unbelievable, right? And I think that there'll be a lot of functionality and use with this truck. I just don't know if the novelty of what this truck looks like is going to wear off.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like they might just take this thing, put a regular body more similar to the rest of their cars on it, and call it just the...
I mean,
truck. I don't know. Maybe just call it the truck.
The question is, will this
thing?
You
know
really
what I mean
be,
by that, though.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like,
will this really be the disruptor that we're thinking of? Would the Cybertruck be the cyber thing, or like you said, are they going to take the underlying exoskeleton and develop body panels to be able to bolt on, so it's the same type of truck, but it's just more reasonable?
Yeah, I also think it's strange when a company makes a car that just absolutely doesn't look like any of their other cars. I mean, that's always a weird thing.
Well,
you know, it's a Toyota has been really revamping all their cars to start to look all similarities in the grills and the taillights like they used to.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. I love when the whole lineup of a manufacturer kind of looks like.
Look at it from a mile away and say that's Toyota.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, the mid-2000 Acuras are an incredible example. You could tell any single car going down the road, if it's accurate or not, by the headlights.
But I would argue the reason you like that so much is because you feel a strong brand identity with that.
Yeah, but that's a good thing for the company, no?
But when... Yeah, no, it is. But what I'm saying is I would argue that that's the same thing that Elon has going on. When you look at some of these things, you know the Teslas are Teslas right off the bat. But when mm-hmm. you look at the Cybertruck, there's not going to be a mistakenable fact that is a Tesla.
I know. Well...
Right? I mean, I hope that they don't put like a really big Tesla logo on the thing in stainless steel because it might just blind people.
Well, I don't think there's any logos on the car.
What is that? Is that really the frunk?
That's the frunk.
Well, what do you do with that?
You can go to the airport with two people. That's about it, is what it looks like.
I mean,
like.
I guess it's enough for groceries. I guess it's like the you know, behind a third row seat type of space. I can't stand these steering wheels.
I don't get it either.
Like, I do not want that as a steering wheel.
I mean, it's not even a wheel.
No. A wheel. Looks like somebody stepped on a hamburger roll.
A wheel would be round.
Anyhow. Look, here's my question to everybody out there in Tesla Cybertruck land. Is this a truck you can get behind? And when I say get behind, I do not mean, I don't own one of those. That's pretty cool. Like, yeah. Take away the fact, let's put 5 years down the road and some of these things are out there or not.
Used
and,
or whatever.
Yeah, and now you have to go and make a decision. I'm buying a Raptor, a TRX, I'm buying, you know, a new Ram, I'm buying a Ford, a Lightning, or whatever it is. As these trucks start to become electric and maybe some of these specs that we're seeing are not so unique to the Cybertruck, right?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, like, are you in a situation where you say to yourself, yes, I want this. That's what I want to know. Yeah. I want to know from people, what is that it?
What I want to know is that if people say yes to that question, I want to know why. Why do you want this? You know?
That's interesting.
Yeah, a little two-piece wheel cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing comes with wheel specs are like 20-inch. It's a 20-inch wheel, and tire, I think, is a 285.
Okay. I mean, yeah. It's meaty. I don't like the wheel arches.
Oh, me either.
And again, going down to features, this truck has a lot of cool features. It's got, 12 inches of lift from air?
Yeah.
You know, it's got cool features, but I would expect nothing less from a Tesla vehicle, right? My concern is build quality. Mm-hmm. I think the driving experience with a Tesla, especially Model 3s and some of the stuff that I've had the chance to drive, I think the driving experience is okay.
The reviews so far, people are saying it drives pretty good.
Good. Well, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about the build quality.
No, I get it.
I've seen some of these cars and the panels don't line up at all. I'm not talking about Cybertrucks. I'm talking about like Model 3s.
Mm-hmm.
Panels don't really line up that well. I found that there's been random things you see in different parts of the places of the car. They don't expect you to go. Trunks behind carpets, in the frunk section where there's different pieces. Like, I just... To me, I sometimes struggle with the fact that I don't feel like the priority was building a car as much as it was building kind of a driving iPad. It was a tech package.
Yeah.
Right. So that's some of the struggle I have, especially when you're already hearing, holy windshield wiper blade. That's
bizarre.
That's awesome.
For people who can't see on YouTube, that's a 3.5-foot windshield wiper blade.
If you can't see the windshield wiper blade
a single
right now, you need to go Google this thing, because
it's crazy.
That's nuts. Do you know how much it's going to be replaced, that windshield wiper blade?
I would say probably more than $100.
I mean that is a big blade, man. That's wild, but very cool all the same.
I think my biggest issue with this thing really though is I just don't know if there's the buyer for it. I feel like, you know, there's all those videos online of like maybe people who are not so up to date with the electric vehicles, and they'll ask like an owner, be like, you know, so is it really that good? And some random owner will be like, yeah, I really love my Tesla for X, Y, and Z reasons, and they advocate for it. But like, this seems like it's going to be more of like a collector item than it is going to be that practical truck that they want it to be. That's the way I look at it. I don't know who this truck is for. I just don't know if it's going to resonate with the people that maybe they think it's going to resonate with.
I think your first truck owners are all disruptors. They're all people that want to show off. They want to stand out.
Truck owners?
Well, whoever buys a Cybertruck. I don't know who these
people are. When I think of truck owners, I think of diehards for Ford or Chevy.
I know, but I'm saying the first sales on the Cybertruck, they're all going to be for people that want to make a statement, stand out, be seen.
Wait, but that's not what Tesla wants.
Well, you could say what they want. What he wants is to sell cars.
That's true.
Right?
But they want this to hit in the same way that their other models have done pretty successfully.
Well, but I would argue that those people aren't necessarily car enthusiasts either.
True. That's fair.
Now, I'm not saying that with the people that like have Model 3s, they're cool performance cars, they do track days. Like, I know that there's people out there, and I'm not knocking them for it. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm just saying that if you were to look on the whole... I think that you would say the majority of the people that own Teslas are very much into that techie type of driving experience. It's very cool. It's eco-friendly. It's got the things. It's got the tech features. It's got cool plug-in this and plug-in that, and it does this and it does that and has a big, you know what I mean? Like, it's the features.
It's also $60,000 minimum.
Well, in a world where everything's becoming increasingly more expensive, I almost don't know that that even matters nearly as much anymore. Yeah. Because it's not $60,000. I mean, this truck is, but I mean, like, you can get a Model 3 for much cheaper now.
Yeah.
But the problem to me is always is that you have to put a substantial amount down to get the car, right? So I think that this is going to immediately eliminate people.
Do they have I never even thought of this. Do they have a
lease program?
No. Do they even have like a reference on like, if you were driving a car and someone told you they had 250,000 miles on their car, you would be like, damn, that's a lot. Damn, your car probably doesn't have that much life left. Yeah. Do they have that kind of range with batteries yet?
So essentially they did a study, a real world study that basically said that the life range on these batteries is about 200,000 miles.
That's pretty good.
That's great, except for the fact that I've read enormous amount of people that are saying that that's completely inaccurate.
I mean, also these things literally go up in flames, yeah?
I don't know that I would say that's unique to Tesla. I think that's a problem that potentially could exist with any electric vehicle.
I'm talking generally as all electric, yeah.
I don't think it's about going up in flames as much as that, you know, batteries are a, you know, they always have been. Even when there were 12, like, small batteries and whatever. I mean, you know, batteries are a item that we've figured out how to make less volatile, but essentially you're putting a bunch of, you know, acid and different acidic cells into into contact with metal to be able to extract some energy, sort of energy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Anyhow, here's my question. Let's wrap this up.
Okay.
For those out there, let us know what you think. Are you a Cybertruck fan? If you are, would you buy this thing? And if you buy this thing, will you buy this thing in 5 years when there's trucks that look like Ford F-150s and Raptors and Rams
performing
and stuff
like
that,
the
performing right, maybe with similar specs? Because I think that that's what's going to happen. It's kind of shown the way, right? Like,
yeah,
Model 3s, and now you're starting to see some of the other EVs kind of match up on the stage because, you know, whatever, competition brings that type of thing. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, if you like the Cybertruck, I want to just know, what do you really like about it? But, you know, is it just all the new hype and the features?
Right.
Or are you going to use it for all it's capable for? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting conundrum.
Yeah.
So, that's it.
What are your thoughts on it? Personal thoughts.
The look of it's where it is easing on me. I think that the interior is very cool. I think the bed's cool. I think there's a lot of... I like the features of the truck.
I mean, innovation's never really a bad thing, so...
No. I still struggle with the looks of it, like, for owning it. Mm-hmm. There's that, but...
This is my final thoughts on it, and then, you know, I'll wrap it up on my end. My quarrel with, like, EVs is, like, if you don't have to design cars for airflow and cooling and stuff like that, like, you could theoretically make EVs as cool as you want on the exterior with just the, you know, whatever.
Well, I read, like, something about that, the shape of the Cybertruck. And they actually said that it's extremely aerodynamic.
Oh, I mean, well, outside of stainless steel, I'm talking about the regular models and stuff like that.
But I,
like,
guess. For, I mean, but, like, that's going to happen anyway.
I feel like the design on some of these are sometimes just weak. And that bothers me when I feel like they should be more like the sky's the limit type of thing because they don't have to think about,
This is far from vanilla.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
this is chocolate with some pickle juice.
That's not.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You can say how you want, but.
Yeah, Ben and Jerry's didn't do that one yet.
Well, you know, Elon never got involved in Ben and Jerry's, so...
Let's hope he doesn't.
You know, hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But anyhow. All right, well, let us know what you think. We'll catch you on the next one.